and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've joined us again. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And so we see here Jesus, having been baptized by John the Baptist, as was appropriate, he's driven by the Spirit of God. He returns from Jordan there to Galilee, it seems, and being led by the Spirit, goes out into the wilderness. Now, John was raised down there in the wilderness, in the foothills of Judea, but Jesus goes up into Galilee. For 40 days and 40 nights, our Lord is tempted of the devil. He eats nothing, and when they were done, he was hungry. I wonder here recently about this time, and our Lord Jesus and what he bore. You know, normally for a man to go without food for 40 days would just be a destruction of the body. There would just be a compromising of the body. To go without food for 40 days, I just don't know if medically that would even be possible. Now, I don't doubt that our Lord Jesus Christ did it. He did it indeed. But I wonder, did our Lord Jesus suffer damage to his body because of this? Yet being God, he was able to take his body and continue on in the ministry that the Lord had given him to accomplish. Was it in this that our Lord bore affliction, that he might be a Savior that's able to succor, that he is able to indeed sympathize with every care, everything that man goes through? Could it be that our Lord did these things, or was his divinity and his power such that his body was preserved and there was no damage to it? I know our Lord on the cross kept himself, and that day when he suffered and was beaten and afflicted and buffeted so, and then brought to the cross of Calvary, carrying our sins, I believe, from Gethsemane all the way there to Calvary, our Lord kept himself alive, and any man would have died, but our Lord Jesus kept himself alive until all things were accomplished. Anyway, our Lord was there for 40 days, being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, going without eating, and at the end of that, certainly, he was hungry. During this time, it tells us in verse 3, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. So Jesus is hungry, and Satan says, well, if you're the Son of God, turn this rock into a bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so here, Satan puts an if to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't run Satan off. He, by his power, doesn't push Satan away and drive Satan away in any wise. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ does? He brings the Word of God back to Satan. A wonderful example for you and me. You know, we are not given to fight Satan, but we are given to stand. We are given and instructed in the Scriptures to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And that's what we need to do, is to resist, not to be looking to fight. In and of ourselves, we have no ability to fight Satan, but by the power of the Lord and the power of his Word, we indeed can stand in our Lord. And so we see here that Satan tempts the Lord, and the Lord answers with Scripture. Verse 5, and the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And so here we see this second point of temptation, that Satan tempts with. And it goes on to say, let's go ahead and read this to finish the thought. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And so Satan takes him up to this high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world just in a moment of time. And he says, I'll give this to you if you will worship me. He says, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And you know what? That is true. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He has been given authority and ability over this earth. And you and I may have a hard time reconciling that, and it may cause us to scratch our heads somewhat. I mean, the Lord has put Satan in control. Yeah, there is a sense that the Lord has given Satan the stewardship. Back in Isaiah, it tells us there that Satan has five I wills. And having not been satisfied and content with the station given to him by God, there seemingly on the throne of God, he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to sit in the sides of the north and so on, as we read in Isaiah 14. And so it's like our Lord has taken Satan, cast him from heaven, and then said, okay, here it is. You do with it what you think. You want to be God? You go ahead and have at it to be God. Now, Satan can't create. So there is an element that we see in the scripture that God has created a people for Satan. And you know what it says in the scriptures? That Satan does nothing but destroys his own. And so what Satan says here about the earth, the power and the glory of the world, and it being delivered to him, and that he can give it to whomsoever he will, it's true. It's not that Satan is telling a lie. Now, Satan, of course, is always bound by what the Lord allows him to do. And so he does have a barrier or a limits that the Lord sets in his divine will and providence. But Satan could have given Jesus all of this, the man Jesus Christ, and he says, if you'll worship me, I'll give it to you. But what's our Lord Jesus do? Well, we see here in verse number 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So again, our Lord Jesus refers to the scripture, doesn't he? Again, a wonderful example for you and me, that in the scripture we can find that way of escape, that way of obedience unto our Lord. Satan says, worship me. Jesus says, the word of God says to worship God only. Get thee behind me, Satan. I want no part of it. I don't want any part of that, because as a man, the Lord Jesus is worshiping God Almighty, worshiping his Father. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. So here Satan takes him to Jerusalem, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and I believe indeed that he does. And he says, just fall off of here. Fall off of here. You know what the scripture says. And so in this, and this account here, and this order, Satan looks to take the word of God and use it against the Lord Jesus. You know it's written that he'll prevent you from dashing your foot against the stone. Verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We're not to tempt our Lord. We're not to take those things that he has said that he would do for us and challenge him on those, or in any way that we might think that we could force God's hand. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And it says here in verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. There's another thing that we see, and not so much in this gospel. The accounts are listed, but in other gospels they're listed in a different order. In this account, Satan tempts and says, make the stones bread because you're surely hungry. And then he says, he takes him to a mountain and shows him all the world and says, bow down to me and I'll give them all to you. And then this last account, he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and says, just fall off of here. In other accounts and other gospels, the order of these has changed, and I find that interesting. And what we see in that is always first is listed this of turning the stones into bread. A miracle. Satan tempts the Lord, and then he says, perform a miracle to satisfy your hunger. And then the next account is he takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, fall off of here and trust God to send his angels that you won't be killed. And then lastly, he says, look at all the kingdoms of the world and the glory and the power of them. I'll give them to you if you just bow down right here before me. See, Satan works in a way that he makes temptation or the yielding to temptation easier and easier and easier. We need to be aware of that. You and I both, we need to be aware how Satan works. First, he tempts the Lord to do a miracle. Of course, you and I can't do miracles. Next, he tempts the Lord to just fall off this building and trust the Lord to send his angels to keep you from smashing headlong into the ground. Not like doing a miracle, trusting the Lord for the miraculous rescue. But then, lastly, he says, just bow down here to the ground in front of me and worship me. And so we see bread, making stones into bread, falling off of the pinnacle of the temple, or jumping off, or just bowing down here. And so then those other accounts, we see that progressive ease that Satan pursues and works. Jesus, in all his power and all his ability, he yet has power over Satan, even as a man, because he's the God-man. He's 100% God, 100% man. And you know what he does? He answers with the Word of God. And you know what? You and I, we need to answer that way. We need to resist temptation that way. It's had the Word of God in us. But if we don't have the Word of God in us, how can we know? How can we be able to resist if we don't have the Word of God within us? But if we have the promise and the Word of God within us, by that we can resist the devil. And it says in verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Satan departed for a season. And so we see here the Lord Jesus, having ended his temptation, tells us in other accounts that the angels came and ministered there to our Lord. What a wondrous thing and that is. And the power and the glory and the ability of our Lord, just a wondrous, marvelous thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, having come down from heaven to be a Savior for sinners. You know what? He resisted that temptation for me. And if you're saved, you know and understand that he did that for you. And you know what? If you're not saved, he did that so a sinner like you could be saved. Repent of your sins and believe in his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, his life for the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins. Well, see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.